But now I want to ask a few questions to all of you. And I'm asking for your response. What would it take to be a great musician? Practice? Like, specifically. And maybe not even a great musician, but, you know, someone who can contribute to, like, a high school band or orchestra. What kind of practice or whatever else is involved in that? Talent, yes. Dedication. What specifically, time-wise? I mean, give me some numbers here. What kind of time do musicians spend practicing and dedicating themselves? Okay. All right. How much time did you put into practice and music when you were, say, in high school?
In high school, how about before?
Okay, fine.
Couple hours a day?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I know, like, high school, I was in an orchestra in high school, and I was by no means a great musician, but we had class for an hour every day, plus I was supposed to practice for a half hour at least. So that's at least an hour and a half just to be a musician, as I was, so an hour and a half a day. What about to become a great athlete? Or we'll just say a starting football player on a high school football team. What does that take? Discipline? Specifics. What's that? Strength? Bandages, that is true. What kind of time do you think high school football players put in on a daily basis? Couple hours. Yep, our practices in high school were like 2 hours after school, plus maybe an hour of weight training, and, you know, that doesn't talk about, you know, summertime and all of that time. I mean, that's hours, multiple hours a day. What about to stay or get in good physical condition? What does it take?
Hours.
Hours? Yeah. Work, right, on a daily basis, right? I mean, you're spending maybe a half hour to an hour a day, you know, whether it's lifting weights or walking or running or what have you.
Determination.
What pushes you all through all? Why would someone do that? Any of these things?
A goal.
A goal. Because they really want to be a great musician or a great athlete or in shape, in good physical condition, healthy. What does it take to be a strong, Christ-like disciple? Just, yeah, think about that one a little bit. Because I wonder if sometimes we don't, or, you know, we think that being something, an athlete or a musician or, you know, a healthy person is so different from being a disciple. But I wonder if it really is. What kind of time do you put into being a strong, Christ-like disciple? I think that discipleship, like a lot of these other things, is a passionate, disciplined pursuit with a goal, something that you really want, and so you put in that time and discipline and practice. And more specifically, discipleship is a passionate, disciplined, spirit-driven pursuit of Jesus. That's what discipleship is, I think. And I think that's what we see, how we see Paul describing discipleship in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to get to that in a second. But throughout the fall, we're talking about our vision statement. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about kind of the main part of the vision statement, the big circle in this picture that I've been drawing, okay? And the big circle is living the gospel life together. Can you all say that with me? Living the gospel life together. That's the big circle. That's who we want to be, people who live the gospel life together. And then we said, okay, so what does that mean? Inside that big circle, last week we looked at the first little circle, which is worship, and specifically glorifying God in whole life worship. Can you say that with me? glorifying God in whole life worship. So he said the people of God are worshipers. You can't be the people of God if you're not a worshiper. This week, we look at the second little circle there, and that is about discipleship. The people of God, to be in a church, to be a Christian, is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, someone who is passionately, disciplinedly, spirit-driven, pursuing Jesus. A disciple is both who we are as Christians and what we produce as churches. We're going to look at both sides of that coin this morning. We're going to focus on that passionate part. I said discipleship is passionate, disciplined, spirit-driven. We're going to save disciplined and spirit-driven for next week. This morning, we're just really going to look at that passionate thing. Why do we want to be a disciple? What does being a disciple, a passionate pursuit of Jesus, look like? First, being a disciple. And I'm just going to read Paul's words again, but I'm going to start a couple verses earlier in chapter 3, verse 10. Paul writes, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing in his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." And then he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already reached the goal." So Paul says, I'm not there yet. I'm in process. "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." As I read that this week, there was one word that really jumped out at me, and the word was straining. Say that with me, straining. And when I think of the word straining, the image that comes to mind is of an Olympic sprinter who is straining towards the finish line. And you have a picture on your bulletin of this, and if you've seen it, you know, in other places. You see these pictures, and all of their muscles are bulging out, tensed and flexed. Their neck muscles, the veins in their neck are like bulging out because they are just giving everything they have to cross that finish line, right? Can you picture this with me? That's what I think of when I hear the word straining. And that's really exactly the image that Paul is using. He's using the image, for our pursuit of Jesus, he's using an image of a sprinter in an Olympic-type games, straining towards the finish line. Now, I think many of us know the feeling of straining. Do you know the feeling of straining? Do you feel like sometimes your life is all about your straining towards something? You get to the end of the day and you have no energy left because you exerted so much energy into something that day? The question for us as disciples is, what is it that you are straining for? What is it that draws that extra bit of energy out of you? Those last reserves of fuel in your tank, what is it that draws that out of you? What are you straining towards? In this case, Paul suggests that to be a disciple of Jesus means that we are straining towards Jesus. Remember, he said, "I want to know Christ." That's what he's straining towards. In verse 13, he says, "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." And I think we read that and usually think it's a time thing. So I forget the past and I strain towards the future. But that's not really what it is. It's a space thing. Those words are about space. So it's, I've turned towards something, and what is in front of me, what I'm looking at, is what I'm straining towards. And what's behind me is what I've turned from. That's what I'm running from. So for a Christian, what we've turned towards is Jesus. Or as Paul calls it, the prize, the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus, this knowledge of Christ, this relationship with God. He says, Jesus has made me his own, so I strive to make this my own. And we strain towards it. A disciple is someone who is exerting that extra bit of energy, that those last reserves towards Jesus and knowing him and following him. Like someone whose eyes, we have this phrase, eyes on the prize. This is where this comes from. That we have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Richard Foster, who is a writer about discipleship, says, our character is shaped by what we immerse ourselves in. And I think, using Paul's language, our character is shaped by what we're straining towards, what we're pursuing, shapes who we are. We do everything as we pursue whatever that thing is. And the question is, what is that for you? What is right in front of you? Not what's in your rearview mirror that you can kind of glimpse on the side, but what is it that draws your energy out? What is it that you strain towards and are willing to put that, direct that energy and time and resources towards? A Christian is a disciple, someone who is straining towards Jesus, passionately pursuing Jesus. But also Christians make disciples. This is the kind of the principle of the New Testament, is that disciples make disciples. Verse 17, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. And we read that, and I think it kind of sounds arrogant maybe to us. Hey, imitate me. If you want to be a good Christian, imitate me. Right? Would any of you say that? Probably not. But if we are pursuing Jesus, shouldn't we be able to ask others to imitate us? You know, Paul isn't saying I'm perfect. He says I haven't obtained it. I'm not there yet. So what is he asking people to imitate? His pursuit. The one thing that he's taken hold of. Forgetting what lies behind, turning away from one kind of life, and straining towards Jesus. And he's confident that if you are with him, if you know him, if you look at his life, you will see what it looks like to pursue Jesus and to strain towards Jesus. Verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. It is from there that we are expecting the Lord, a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is constantly looking at Christ, pursuing him. Shouldn't we be able to say that? That if you look at my life, you will see someone who is straining towards Jesus. Not someone who's perfect, not someone who has it all figured out, but someone who is muscles out, disciplined, straining towards this goal to know Christ and to have the life that Jesus wants to give us. I think that's reasonable. Can you say that? Can I say that? Making disciples is what Jesus called us to do. We see it in the Great Commission, and we spent about 6 weeks on the Great Commission a year and a half ago. Can anyone tell me what the Great Commission is? Anyone want to be adventurous? What's the Great Commission? Go into all the world. What was that? To love others as yourself. That's what we call the Great Commandment. So really close. It's really close. The Great Commission, yeah, to go into all the world and make disciples. So we're going to put it up here? We're not going to put it up there. Well, that's okay. Okay, the Great Commission is this. Jesus says, this is his last words to his disciples before he goes up to heaven and sends down his Spirit. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. There's the all the world part. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And in all of that, the one command, grammatically, is make disciples. That is what the church does and is called to do. That's it. To form and create people who are pursuing Jesus and passionately straining towards him. When we talked about the different eras of the church a number of weeks ago, we said that for a long time in America, the church was kind of in an age of comfort, right? It was easy. Most people seemed to be Christians. We had laws that benefited Christians. People were coming into our churches. The church was the place to be, right? And when I think, and I'm not alone in this. I was going to have a quote on this, but there were so many articles and books that said it that I was overwhelmed, so I couldn't even come up with one. But in that era of comfort, the church, as a lot of us do in times of comfort, got a little bit lazy and distracted from the one thing, the central thing that we are called to do, and that is to make disciples, to produce them. Not just to have churchgoers, people coming to our church, but people who are passionately pursuing Jesus. Are we becoming disciples? Are we making disciples? If not, nothing else matters for a church. So when we ask, what program should we do? What events should we have? What structures? How should we structure our church? The answer to all of that is whatever will help us make disciples. Whatever will help us to create people within and without who are pursuing Jesus. And that may sound single-minded and narrow-minded, but that's exactly what Jesus wanted his people to be. Paul says, this one thing, have this one thing in front of you. As Deuteronomy 6 said, have it on your forehead, dangling down practically, my word. Make disciples. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make disciples of all nations. That's what the church does. So what does that look like? Well, we're not going to turn the church into a boot camp, okay? Although New Testament does talk about Christians with the soldier image and training like soldiers. And we're not going to make you run a mile in a certain amount of time or anything like that. Although, as obviously, the New Testament does use athlete images and training like athletes. But what we want to do and be are people who desire above everything else to be Christ-like people. People who are tenaciously committed to helping others be disciples. I mean, look to your left, literally, look to your left, and look to your right. Some of you can't see anyone in one of those directions. Look ahead of you, look behind you, turn around maybe. Are you tenaciously committed to the people that you just laid eyes upon being passionate pursuers of Jesus? That's what it means for Christians to love one another and to care for one another. It's not a mushy thing. It is that to love one another as Christians is to so desire that the beauty of Christ would shine out of another person. And so, we speak the gospel to each other. We challenge each other. We set an example for one another. And we say, come along and live with me. Live life with me. And you'll see someone pursuing Jesus, and you'll learn how to pursue Jesus. And we do that by eating meals together and being in focus groups together and serving alongside each other and walking with each other at things like crop walk, by living life together. Everywhere we are, whatever we are doing, we are called to pursue Jesus and to let him shape our lives. In our culture, it is normal to strain for things and to see people straining for things. Straining is not strange in our culture. People work 60, 70, 80 hours a week so that they can achieve financial comfort or at least financial stability. People strain for financial comfort and stability. We're used to seeing that all the time. Parents will bend over backwards, whether it means filling up the gas tank for it or spending time for it, for their kids to do as many activities as possible. We strain to give our kids experiences. Is it crazy to think that becoming a disciple might be something worth straining for? To know Christ and to help others know Christ. That might be worth our straining. Jesus strained from one side of the cross to the other so that we could have life with God, so that we could walk with him, so that we could enter into his community and into his family, so that we could live well in this world. Because he knows that whatever we're straining for, we're going to strain and strain and strain, and it's not going to fulfill us. Jesus died on the cross so that we could see him straining for us. And to strain towards him is the only straining that's going to bring us fulfillment. That's not going to leave us dead at the end of the day, dead tired and exhausted and disappointed. It is worth straining for Jesus. What a blessing it is that we are able to not strain alone, but to do it together. To encourage each other when we're down on our energy, to encourage each other to keep straining towards Jesus, to challenge each other when we're kind of sauntering along, no, strain towards Jesus. To be able to, when we're straining and we fall down, to pick each other up along the way. What a blessing to do that together. Let's do that together in this church. To do everything we can to help people know Jesus and to follow him. At Point Place United Church of Christ, we want to be a people who are living the gospel life together, who are glorifying God in whole life worship, and who are growing as disciples by word and spirit. Let's say it all together. Living the gospel life together, glorifying God in whole life worship, growing as disciples by word and spirit. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for doing whatever it took to be near us, to be with us. Help us to do whatever it takes to take hold of that life that you're giving us, to receive that gift. Help us to desire you and your kingdom above anything else, and to see you as worth our energy and our time and our resources. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who died for us and is risen again. Amen.